Well, good morning again. I have an invitation for you this morning. I would like each of you to humor me with this, if you would. I don't know, that's probably not the best word, but I want to invite you all this morning to come forward and leave your shoes at the altar. Come on forward. I'm serious. I want you to come forward and leave your shoes at the altar. It'll make sense why in a little while, but just, you know, I mean, if you're really not comfortable with it, don't, but I'm going to do the same. Just bring them up here and leave them up here. Yeah, you guys are cold and you're taking your shoes off, you know. All right, I'm going to do the same thing. This what? Where are we flying to? Right, it's like an airport. I want you to go through the security on the way back. Thank you for that. Amen. Am I going to be able to stand up here with all these shoes? No, I'm not sure, you know. Amen. Let's put them anywhere, guys. Let's put them anywhere. Okay, we're going to have a raffle. No, I'm just kidding. Well, we are officially 1 week past the holiday season. The gifts have been given. The New Year has been celebrated, and our homes are returning to their former state. By now, many, if not all, decorations have been taken down and stored until next year. Ornaments, trees, and wreaths and nativity scenes have been disassembled and packed up and put away. And the homes and even our church can seem quite different after all these decorations go down. We've had a month or two of lights and trees and all that's happening, and now it just seems almost a little bare until you get used to it or replace it. And in some ways, we enter a new season. Now we've gone from this busy holiday season to a time of increased cold and winter activity, and a time in the season where we begin to long and look for spring. We're looking forward to now what's going to happen. There's not much going on. We've started a new year, but in Northeast Ohio, that's not necessarily an exciting time. And so while that may be true, it doesn't need to be true. For many, when they put away their decorations, they put away most thought of Christ and the Christ that was before them in the Christmas, the Christmas season. They tuck away the nativity scene and kind of the thoughts of God goes with that, if you will. And they don't want to give God much thought until maybe Easter. Easter rolls around and Jesus becomes temporarily popular again for a short period of time. Now, for the believer, that's not the case. In fact, that you were in church this morning means that you've at least thought about God at least this morning, hopefully more than that. But I have a proposal for you this morning I would like you to think about. I want you to think and imagine if you took the next few months where you'll be more housebound than you will be in spring and summer and purpose to spend more time with God. To make it a point these next few months to take this opportunity to spend some time with God. And I submit to you that you can turn this dull season, if you would, of cold and not a whole lot going on into an exciting time of growth in the Lord. Last year, those of us who were here, we looked a little bit at New Year's resolutions, and we said that we resolve this year to spend more time with God, to spend more time in prayer. And we talked about prayer and the importance of it. We prayed afterwards, and some folks said they really were touched and moved by that. And so we said this year is going to be a year of prayer and a year of time with God, and we kind of resolved to do that in 2012. And you have a wonderful opportunity these next few months to do just exactly that. I mean, we've just finished the holiday season, Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, and now we enter the season of resolutions, if you would, and we looked a little bit at that last week. And we have all these seasons, and have you ever wondered what God has to say about our seasons? Is he moved by them? Does he have a negative understanding, or is he excited with them? I mean, what's he say about it? In the Old Testament, there were a lot of special days, religious holy days, weeks, months, even years. In fact, there are no fewer than 149 times special observances are noted in the Old Testament. Not 149 separate observances, but 149 times mentioned certain observances. In Exodus chapter 12 is an example. God establishes a Jewish calendar by months, and so he has this pattern. But there's no mention of anything special, any special month in the New Testament. In fact, this morning I'm going to look at Galatians 4. You see behind me, verse 8 and following. It says this, "But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not God's. But now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid for you, at least I have labored for you in vain." You know, it almost seems if Paul is condemning observance of special days or months. I mean, that's what it says here. It seems that way till you understand the context of it, what God's doing with it. Verse 8 and 9, "But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those by which nature are not God's. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and the beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage?" And Paul is referring to those that before they knew Christ, they served false gods, or they acknowledged false gods or special days or times, and even some of those that had come into the faith and wanted to go back to some special Jewish traditions and things of that nature, and he had a problem with that. And he said, you know, for the believer, now you know the real God. And in fact, you were known by God. Before, you didn't know God, and God didn't really know you in the sense of a relationship. And he said, you know, things have changed here. And here's the good news. When you've accepted Christ, God knows exactly who you are. A child of God. His child, heir to the kingdom. Heir to all that God has. And he looks at some of the stuff we do, and he says, really? Now, often, then and now, men and women observe special days, times to make them feel religious. They're doing religion and not living for God. There's a big difference. And God says, there's no need to do religion. You know me and I know you. We have a daily relationship. If you watch Christ, I mean, he often made it clear that religious, the religion, he didn't have a lot of use for it. It kind of disgusted him. I mean, he wanted faith and he wanted a relationship, but the religious, he went up so much about that. And I submit to you that God has no problem with us celebrating Christmas or special days or events. But it's a daily relationship that he desires. This ongoing knowing him and growing in him and moving with him. Once you've come to know Christ, the ways of old are supposed to be exactly that. Ways of old. No longer doing the things we did before we knew God. And it doesn't mean not celebrating birthdays or Christmas, but he's talking about some of the things we had in our life before. And he says, now that you've known me, hey, things have changed. Not only today is it a new year, it's a new beginning, he's saying, come on. Look this morning at Colossians chapter 2. "And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. He's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." I want you to consider carefully what God is saying here. Before Christ, you had sin that you could not control. You were dead unto God. Your fleshly desires led you around, and you were not able to fulfill the law or the commandments, the very things that condemned you. And he says such word. He says, but now Christ has defeated your enemy, broke the devil's power over you that kept you in bondage and sin and set you free to serve God. When you come to know Jesus, there are things that aren't the way they used to be. When you come to know Christ, God should no longer be a seasonal celebration in your life. He's a way of life lived really in victory. And it's when you walk with Christ on a daily basis, this daily walking, in all that you do, in your work, in your homes, in your relationships, all that's happening, when you walk with him, that's when you walk in continual victory. And Colossians is saying, you were dead in your sin, but Jesus made you alive. You had sin, He forgave you. You were under the law that you could not fulfill, and Christ fulfilled it and took it away. You had an enemy. Actually, the enemy has an army of enemies, principalities and powers, plural, once over you. You had an enemy you could not defeat. Christ defeated him for you. Jesus' triumphant victory becomes your triumph victory. And this word here, triumphantly, means a loud, acclamatory procession. It's like this openly showcasing the victory over the enemy. It's as if you had this parade loud and proclaiming it that Christ is the victor. And that's the word meant there. That God was strong about it, and he said, I have not only defeated the enemy, I made a public spectacle of him. I think the devil needs to be reminded of that daily, don't you? He should be reminded that he was made a public spectacle. There was nothing has changed. I mean, nothing can be any more powerful than that he is defeated. He needs to be reminded of that. And why in the world would he only want to celebrate Christ once weekly? Really? Or at worse than that, twice a year at Christmas and Easter? I mean, he's not to be celebrated seasonally. Last week we said we resolved to be closer, to draw closer to God, stronger in this coming year. And I say we have an opportunity. A great start would be to resolve to be closer, stronger in God by this coming spring. What if we made a resolution to ourselves, to yourself, and to God and to the Holy Spirit that we set Easter as a goal that by Easter time comes, I'm going to be radically different in God. I'm going to be radically and stronger in God at Easter than I am today. It's doable. It's doable. And I want to spend every day reminding the devil and his demons of the defeat and my victory in Christ. And consider if you did that, if you said, you know what, I'm going to spend a little more time in the Word, a little more time in prayer, and I'm going to remind the devil every day of the victory I have in Christ and his defeat in my life. That'll be a great thing to head towards Easter, amen? God doesn't want casual Christians. He wants radical Christians. I was reminded a week or so ago, and as I was putting this message together, it was funny that I was reminded of a story I had told years ago. It seemed there was a hen and a pig that approached a church and observed the topic of the sermon that week was what we can do to help the poor. Immediately, the hen suggested they feed them bacon and eggs. The pig thought for a moment and said, there's only one thing wrong with feeding bacon and eggs to the poor. For you, it only requires a contribution. For me, it's total commitment. That's true, amen? So the question becomes, are you a hen or a pig? I want to be a pig for Jesus, amen? I want to be totally committed to God, totally sold out. I don't want to just be contributing some things to God. Who are you up there? You're going to be a pig for Jesus? We should have t-shirts. I'm a pig for Jesus. I mean, that would probably start conversations, don't you think? Totally committed. Maybe I'm a pig for Jesus with a pig on the back and slabs of bacon on the front and slabs of bacon on the back. I don't know. I probably ought to move on. But the question is, are you willing to give more than just a contribution to God? Are you willing to totally surrender your life and everything you have to God? And you know, really the best way to do that is try giving him a little more each week. Make it sensible. Make it obtainable. But resolve to do it. Make it something that will stretch you. You know, don't make it casual. But don't make this big plan that you're never going to be keeping up with it. Make it a little at a time, but consistent. And stretch yourself. And as you stretch yourself, trust God to help you fulfill it. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We purpose to head towards calling Easter just as a goal, the spring. I want to grow closer. I want to grow stronger. I want to know God in a better way. I want to have less sin in my life. I want to have more of God in my life. I can do it through Christ who encourages me and strengthens me. And I'm not going to make him a seasonal celebration when he's just popular for a season. He's going to be popular in my life all the time. There was a time during Christ's ministry that he became rather popular. People began to follow him, mostly for the miracles, the feeding of the thousands. But they followed him. They followed him for the miracles, and they followed him for what they perceived Jesus could do for them. And after one of his miraculous feeding of miracles, Jesus and his disciples crossed the sea over to Capernaum. The only thing is that the disciples did it in the boat, and Jesus did it walking on water. He sent them on over, and he walks on water over there. And the next morning, the people that had been with him on the mountainside, and they look over, and they cross the sea, and they see Christ and his disciples over there, and they get in the boats, and they head on over there. They get over there, and they ask Jesus, "How'd you get here? What are you doing over here?" And it seems like he's seeking them, although Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. You're seeking me for what I can do for you, not because I represent God or am God." And then after that, he began to call them into really a radical faith. I mean, time doesn't allow us to go through the scriptures, but I encourage you later to go through John. I mean, he talks about some soundingly saying crazy things, but he's calling them to this depth of a radical faith, a radical following. He wants them to be totally committed to him and totally committed to the Father and to the Christ. And he told them to stop wasting their time on things that perish, but to seek the food that pertains to everlasting life. To make it a time of just really drawing towards God. Once called to this strong commitment, a daily commitment, Scripture says they began to leave him. They went back to their former way of life. See, we're not supposed to go back. We're supposed to go forward. And John 6 says, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you also want to go away? Are you going to leave me also?'" I mean, I don't know what that was like for Christ when he had all these multitudes following him, and as he began to, you know, not just feed them the things they needed. He didn't care about meeting the provision. That's part of who he is. But he started calling them to reciprocal this wonderful relationship that he was really the best for them. He got a little too close and a little too radical, and he began to leave, and he began to see him leave. And he looked at the 12 and said, "You're going to leave too? You out of here also?" And you ever notice that Jesus always gives you your choice in life? Choose wisely. Who will you serve? So you ask him, "Do you want to go away? Are you also going to go away?" And following verse, "But Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" I sense Jesus asking each of us really the same question this morning. As you put away your decorations this year, are you going to do like so many? Kind of leave him until a more popular, more convenient time? Are you going to serve him only when he's popular? Are you going to be sold out to him? You know, some people you only see at Christmas and Easter. There are some you see a little more often. There are some here every week. And it's not really a question of how often you come to church, although I think that's a good indicator where you are at God, with God. I mean, once you're committed, totally committed to God, you'll be hungry to be the fellowship of the saints and the worship. It's really a question of your commitment to Christ, your willingness to follow him. Christ is calling you to a radical faith, and he reminds you that you don't have to do it alone. He's with you in it. He's calling each of us to a radical walk with him, and as I was preparing this message this week and praying about what he wanted to do, and he just wants to remind us that he's so involved with us in this, and he's always drawing us towards him and being involved. And so I just sense it was a great time, a great week to have communion. So I invite the ushers to pass out the communion if they would. Your feet are cold. Keep listening. I may have an answer for you, Lloyd. I may have an answer. I may not. Communion is a wonderful time to remember all that Jesus did for us and to remember his commitment to you. He's willing to pay it all to enable your relationship with Him. He's willing to give everything to have this relationship with you. Scripture encourages us to examine ourselves before we partake of the communion elements. I want to take a moment to do that. And I want to be reminded as well of the next scripture here. 1 John 1:9, speaking to believers. If we confess our sins, thank you. Yes, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's calling you to go before Him, to seek His heart. So let's take a few moments and do exactly that this morning, to just bow our hearts before God. Got something you want to deal with Him? Allow Him to deal with you. Repent and move forward. First Corinthians tells us, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which He was betrayed took bread, and so when He had given thanks, He broke and said, 'Take, eat. This is My body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.'" Let's partake of the bread together. In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes." We're proclaiming His death. We're proclaiming all that means. We're proclaiming He's coming back. But He hasn't left us alone. He's with us. Let's partake of the cup together. We serve such a gracious God that's always calling us to a deeper relationship, reminding us when we've fallen away, reminding us when we've kind of slipped a little casual, reminding us that He's with us in it. Communion is such a wonderful way to do that. Oh, no, yeah, your shoes. A woman by the name of A.B. Curtis wrote a book really about 9/11 to help her grandchildren understand the horror and heroism of the day. Children's book, published in 2003, is titled The Little Chapel That Stood. And through poetry, she wrote about historic St. Paul's Chapel, which amazingly survived the carnage of the 9/11. The old church is located just east of Ground Zero. It was built in 1766. George Washington worshipped there. And on September 2001, the wrought iron fence that surrounded its perimeter became an icon of both loss and bravery. Scores of firefighters stopped there to put on their boots as they rushed into the burning towers. They hung their shoes on the old fence as they ran in there but most of them didn't return. One line Curtis wrote, what gallant men did we lose who never came back to get their shoes. We begin a new year, and it's fitting to remember we've been given opportunities that these courageous firefighters no longer possess. We can put our shoes on and go and make a difference. So as you close the service this morning and you come and put your shoes on, realize that you've been given a wonderful opportunity for as much time as God has given you breath, that you can put your shoes on your feet and make your feet go make a difference. That you can make a choice that I'm going to put action to my feet, I'm going to serve God, I'm going to share Christ at every opportunity, and I'm going to grow closer to Him. Let's stand and worship Him this morning.
In the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. Well, you can have all this world, just give me Jesus. When I am alone, Lord, when I am alone, oh, when I am alone, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, give me Jesus.
Father, we're so thankful for this time, this season that you've given us, whatever time we have left, be it a day, be it a year, be it 50 years, whatever you've given us, Lord, or more. We don't want to waste our opportunities. Everywhere we walk, everywhere we go, we want to be reminded that we are a child of God, that Christ is our victor, that the enemy is defeated in our life, and that we have a purpose to draw closer to you. As we do so this morning, Lord, we do resolve to make the change this year, to make this the time and the season that we'll know you in a greater way, in a greater fashion, that we'll serve you in a greater way, we'll be committed and submitted to you and obedient to whatever you call us to do. We'll follow you wholeheartedly and realize in our list of priorities that you are number one. Thank you for the grace that's in our lives, and thank you, Father, as your people go, that your angels encamp about them, protect them, and watch over them. That your grace is in their life. Your provision is radically in their homes. Your love is in their hearts. We give you the praise in Jesus' name.